News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
It is an absolutely bizarre morning, news-wise, here this morning at FM Talk 106.5. We'll try to cover a lot of it here in the 8 o'clock hour. We have the latitude to, you know, kind of stretch things out and just chat with you about things and chat with each other about things. And so we'll try to do that, and we'll try to get to the most important stories of the day as we go along, including the best golfer in the world being hauled off to jail outside of the country club where the PGA Championship's being played, all having to do with a traffic violation, I guess. Mm-hmm. But the charges are actually more than that. Someone was killed hit by a shuttle bus in the, it was dark too. So you have somebody, a pedestrian gets killed by a shuttle bus, tragic story right mm-hmm. there. As people are trying to get into the country club in Valhalla in Louisville. And then you've got the players themselves are now coming to the event. And things go sideways with Scottie Scheffler. That's a big story we'll get to here in a little bit.
Yeah, and a ton more to get to. One of the big discussions we want to have this morning is about the Hangout Music Festival as it begins today and runs through Sunday. And one of our three big things this morning is that contract is running up in Gulf Shores and will end after next year's festival. Well, they'll start discussions, we presume, about whether to bring it back or not after this weekend. And we want to hear from residents, people who work in Gulf Shores and have to deal with the fallout from Hangout Music Fest every year. And we'll get into that conversation as well later on in this hour. But I think a great place to start today would be with an interview that Sean Sullivan had yesterday on Midday Mobile as Mayor Sandy Stimson was in studio for the better part of an hour in the noon hour. You can go back on our podcast page or anywhere where our podcasts are distributed and listen to that entire interview. But the mayor discussing what we expected him to discuss.
Yeah, I mean, you've got the, you know, he's right in the middle of all this, prines out, the report comes out, and the mayor's and his administration not really crazy about what the report has to say, as it does indeed give the Mobile Police Department a black eye. Sandy Stimson saying that was not the intent of it all. And you can see he's gone around to meet with commanders and police to say, hey, sorry about that. That was an unintended consequence of all this. But the way the whole thing's been handled, and he took the fall on the way it all came out, they made the decision to look into the police department. It doesn't, so you'd have to separate this yourself, I think. Help me with this, okay? Did they make that decision because they were concerned with it? The administration side of the story is it was simply because of too many incidents where city council people were being mm-hmm. pressured by their constituents. Hey, something's got to happen here. You need to look into all this, correct?
That's correct. So
it had nothing to do with prying necessarily.
Well, that's what is being said, right? That's what the mayor is saying. And so if you remember back to last year when there were a couple different incidents in a row, and then you had the Juwan Dallas tasing, mm-hmm. and then he ended up dying. But remember, drugs in the system.
Mm-hmm.
I think the autopsy ruled it a fatal heart malfunction of some mm-hmm. sort. I don't know mm-hmm. if you call it a heart attack or what it was, but you had that. And so you had the Juwan Dallas family for months, really, protesting at city council, asking for the release of body camera footage. So the city council was already getting a lot of pressure from that situation. You had the civil rights lawyers who all come down when something like that happens, who were also taking part in this. And then you had the raid where a 16-year-old pointed a pistol at officers, had the red dot sight on it, and while the raid was intended to arrest his older brother, 18-year-old, the 16-year-old is the one who pulled the pistol on the officers and ended up being killed. And I would say that was probably the tipping point.
Mm-hmm.
And what the mayor said yesterday was the city council was getting all this pressure. They say, hey, we need an objective third party review into the practices of the Mobile Police Department.
And at that point, it came down to
who?
It came down to city attorney Carlos Woods, but I don't remember his first name. So anyway, Ricardo Woods, and his recommendation of Kenyon Brown. So, okay, then Mayor Stimson yesterday was touched on a number of things with this report, including the inaccuracies, the parts of the report that the administration disputed, said, wait a minute. And also exactly like you were explaining how this thing all got underway. So here's Mayor Stimson from yesterday.
The night of the report, I made comments that I was sure there wasn't everything in the report that we were going to agree with.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, what we were looking for were his recommendations on things that we could do so that we don't find ourselves, you know, in the situation where we find ourselves today.
So not going by the report item by item, signing off 100% on everything Brown cited,
mm-hmm.
but still walking away with recommendations.
Right.
But I don't know what good recommendations are from a flawed report. Is that fair to say?
I think that's a fair argument there. And one of the questions a texter asked was, in that report, did Kenyon Brown, the attorney who did the report, along with two others in that team, did they recommend that Mobile create a DEI office of some sort for Mobile Police Department? And the mayor said he couldn't remember. He didn't want to say there was or wasn't without knowing for sure. But I know for sure that that was one of the final recommendations in the report.
Mm-hmm.
And it, for me, you look at the very beginning of the report, you look at the very end report, and you knew how this thing was going to be slanted by the attorney, by Kenyon Brown. And that was, so we had this big controversy. I mentioned the typos in the report. How much focus of it was on bad language.
Bad language, it was interesting.
But it did seem like it was meant to sow racial division. And remember, I said from the very moment that report came out, if you wanted this to be...
You read it.
If this report, if you wanted to lay it all out there, the six cases they looked into were specifically dealing with African Americans who mm-hmm. were on the other end, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who and there were very often, you know, black cops that were involved too. There should have been cases they looked into involving white suspects as well, but that didn't happen. And one of his major themes in the report was that Mobile police don't know how to de-escalate situations with black people.
Mm.
Well, show us a situation where a white suspect was involved and whether that was de-escalated or not. And then the focus on bad language, potty mouths. Remember, that was a big part of it. But then the fact that parts of this report have been disputed, and the Excel Academy case specifically, where mm-hmm. he basically said that this vice principal at Excel Academy could have been charged with criminal assault
right.
for what Kenyon Brown alleged was grabbing the hair of a 16-year-old girl and turning her body. And Excel disputed that.
Right.
Sheriff Birch looks at the video and says, that's
not
what happened at all.
Didn't happen, right.
And Kenyon Brown walks it back, but very, you know, half-heartedly. It wasn't like he was begging for forgiveness for messing it up. He was like, oh, you're right. Now that we look at it again, yeah, we may have made a mistake there.
So questions, it puts in question the entire report. I mean, I'm trying to be a wise guy here. I'm just saying, if you have enough things about this report, if it was a book report from a kid mm-hmm. and it had this many errors in it or this many questions in it, you would say, you're not going to get an A, buddy.
Yeah.
So that's where we are with that.
And then the cost comes
then
out.
Then the cost comes out.
$300,000. Well, let me be specific. $297,000 and I think, what, $297,000 in change. We'll call it that, is how much this report ended up costing. And I know the mayor spoke about that a little bit as well.
He talked about that, and he first talked about, so again, just bear with us, the origin of how the report came about. So he's going to talk a little bit about that and then get into the cost.
Okay, so then we got to a point where there was another situation with alleged use of force, officer involved. And so it was at that time that the president of the city council, you know, came to see me sitting with him, the city council attorney, Ricardo Woods, and suggested we get somebody to come in. We've got to have somebody come in and look at what we're doing from a use of force standpoint. So the city council knew that we were doing it. Okay.
Okay.
But neither the council nor the mayor knew that it would cost this much. We knew that it was that he was a very high priced lawyer. But they are very surprised or shocked, as is the mayor, on how much this did cost.
And the mayor later on in the hour said if he had to estimate what he thought this would cost, I think he said his numbers were between $60,000 and $90,000 is what he thought the report from Kenyon Brown would cost. I mean, they're billing this team at $1,000 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
But he said what they didn't take into account was getting him to Mobile. So, how much money was spent? And I'm guessing this includes transport and
hotel
or wherever he stayed. So, and how often was he flying back and forth from, I guess, I don't know, DC or wherever the other location was? Was he flying first class? I mean, I have a lot of questions about how you can rack up that much in travel costs.
Well, that's over $200,000 more than the mayor estimated. So that's a lot, right? So how do you rack up that much cost? I don't know.
Yeah. And, you know, with this big conversation, and props to the mayor for coming in studio and speaking with Sean about this, he said he's been talking with MPD. I think he said the latest number was around 175 officers with the force, and apologetic for how this turned out. And I think the term that he maybe invented, maybe they keep using, he said, if I had a forward-facing rearview mirror, I wouldn't have done it that way.
Yeah.
And basically that the hiring of this attorney and the way that it was done, he would have done it an entirely different way. But one question that kept coming up was, did you commission this report in order to get rid of Prine as the police chief?
He
says
no.
And the mayor said, no, that was nothing to do with this, and that Prine would have still been out if there had been no report. And he blamed that on a lack of communication or maybe Prine, not listening to superiors.
Exactly. You know, Prine was subordinate in his interactions, I guess, with Chief Barber or the people at the Gulf Coast
Tech Center.
So that was like a different issue altogether, that Prine would have been out regardless. But it's, again, props to Sandy for coming in. Good job. But there's still so many questions about all this that, you know, I'm curious about. I don't know about you.
Yeah, and Prine will be on with Sean Sullivan today. So coming up, I believe, at noon, the former police chief will be on with Sean, so you will want to stay tuned for that. But yet the mayor, so when he came in yesterday, and you've got this $300,000, which is now what the Kenyon Brown report cost. If the city council goes through with an investigation into Prine's claims, Lagniappe is estimating that at about $100,000, or they spoke with someone involved who is estimating that at about $100,000. This is all coming from, according to the mayor, at least that Kenyon Brown report, from a fund set aside for legal representation for the city.
So it was in the budget, but just in another part of the budget, like sitting over here, possible legal expenses, correct?
Right. And I don't do this often, but when we come back, there was a caller that called in the second hour of Sean's show and had comment on this, and it was such an interesting call. I want to play that back for you.
Okay, we'll do that. 19 after 8. Dan and Dalton, text line if you want to comment, 251-343-0106, or if you want to call.
Thank you, Kane. 834 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
We're great, man. And I know you're great at McConnell Automotive. You've got some really, really good deals to tell us about right now.
That's right, man. We got $10,500 off a four-wheel drive Sierra brand-new pickup truck sitting over there, and it looks gorgeous, and it's here. And, I mean, you know, looks like we have a little rain this afternoon. So if you have that unfortunate accident, don't forget McConnell Collision Center in the back there. Thomas and Rachel and all the guys and girls back there take care of all your needs. Man, it's a great body shop. Y'all will love it. We got a great service department back here. And got a great selection of pre-owned and new cars out there. You can check all that stuff out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. Hope everybody be careful out there and have a great weekend.
All right. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
Louie Arata, you'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
You, of course, have all heard of the term ice water in his veins. Mm-hmm. Well, we're about to find out if Mr. Scheffler has ice water in his veins or not, because he's
right out the pokey, man.
Right out of the pokey. Now he's going to, I guess.
He's on the range now.
He's on the range, so his tee time is coming up soon.
9:08 he's teeing off.
9:08 our time, so mm-hmm. there you go. And just out of jail after being arrested for traffic violations and then some after an accident where a pedestrian was killed very early in the morning, like 5 a.m.
Yeah, so let's go into detail on that. And hopefully before the end of the hour, we can get into Michael Cohen's testimony absolutely falling apart yesterday in Manhattan. And we have some audio from the attorney's attorney, Cohen's attorney, absolutely disputing what Cohen has said this week. And that's before you get into the Todd Blanche cross-examination from yesterday. But this Scottie Scheffler story is, I think, the biggest story this morning.
It's crazy.
Biggest, strangest thing I've seen in golf since that morning in 2008 when we heard that Tiger Woods' wife had hit him with a golf club and that he had ran his Escalade into a tree. That was very strange.
Yes.
We learned a lot about Tiger Woods over the next decade. But Scheffler, you know, by all appearances, and I mean, I've never been more sure of anything in my life. He's one of the cleanest as far as, let's see how I want to put this. He's just a good dude.
Yeah,
everything I've ever seen, he talks about his faith.
Yeah,
the reason he says he's so ice cold on the course is because he feels secure in where he's going after death.
Yeah.
He's like, God's got me.
Yeah,
he's been nice. I've never heard him say a curse word. So imagine my surprise when some of you start texting this morning the breaking news that Scottie Scheffler had been arrested while driving into Valhalla Golf Club to begin his second round of the PGA Championship this morning. And we've got all kinds of footage from this because Jeff Darlington, who is one of ESPN's golf reporters, he was on the scene. He was there as Scheffler was arrested this morning. Now, the latest article they have here is from Mark Schlabach. And he said, world number one golfer Scottie Scheffler was arrested by Louisville Metro Police Friday morning after trying to drive into the entrance of the golf club, site of this week's PGA Championship. Traffic outside the golf course had been stopped after a man was struck and killed by a shuttle bus around 5 a.m. Eastern time. And, you know, especially these golfers who begin their rounds very early, it's not crazy for them to get there at 5 in the morning, 5:30, 6 in the morning. Scheffler faces, now listen to this, charges of second-degree assault of a police officer, third-degree criminal mischief, reckless driving, and disregarding traffic signals from an officer directing traffic. The assault charge is a felony. The others are misdemeanors. He ended up being released at 8:40 Eastern time, so he's been out of jail for 58 minutes. And then he headed to Valhalla, arrived less than an hour before he was scheduled to tee off at 10:08 Eastern, which would be, of course, 9:08 our time. Scheffler's attorney said it would be up to Scheffler whether he plays today in the second round.
He's playing.
Looks like he's playing. Now, the reporter, Jeff Darlington, witnessed the incident. He was on the scene. It said Scheffler was trying to drive around the crash scene on a median. A police officer instructed Scheffler to stop, but Scheffler continued to drive about 10 to 20 yards towards the entrance. At one point, an officer attached himself to the side of Scheffler's car. This sounds like it's out of Happy Gilmore or something, which they're making a second one of. Scheffler stopped his car as he turned into the entrance of Valhalla Golf Club. So this sounds like it was out on this main roadway.
Yeah.
And we were seeing footage of that.
Yes.
It looks like it's like, you know, pretty big highway.
Yeah, right. Like a two-lane with a median in between.
Mm-hmm. Well, four-lane with the median in between.
Four-lane, median in between. Looks like a state road or something, not an interstate. But,
so that's where they were slowing things down.
Right.
By the time he gets to the entrance of the golf club, he stops. Then after about 20 to 30 seconds, Scheffler rolled down his window to talk to the officer. The officer grabbed Scheffler's arm to pull him out of the vehicle, according to Darlington. The officer reached inside the vehicle to open the door, and once Scheffler was pulled out, the officer pushed him against the car and placed him in handcuffs. Scheffler then turned to Darlington, well-known reporter for ESPN, and said, "Can you help?" According to Darlington, the officer said to him, "You need to get out of the way. Right now, he's going to jail, and there's nothing you can do about it." Now, they've changed that quote because the one I had earlier,
he said his name.
Said, "You need to get out of the way. There's nothing you can do. Scottie Scheffler is going to jail." Scheffler, who's only 27, he's won four of his past five starts. They did delay the start of the second round because of
the accident.
Shuttle bus hitting and killing a pedestrian. The unidentified man was attempting to cross Shelbyville Road. That must be the name of that. Around 5 a.m. Eastern, when he was struck in a dedicated lane for buses, the man did die at the scene. And officers were at the scene for some time. It looks like they still are now. And they were also reporting on ESPN that many golfers, I think it was Michael Collins, said he spoke with many of the golfers who had no issues, that they were just waved right on through to the golf club. But then he talked to Max Homa and maybe another golfer who, did they walk a mile and a half?
Yeah, they walked a mile and a half. So they were, so you had, all depending on the timeline of the accident and all of that, it looks like things kind of changed, the traffic pattern changed, all because of the accident and the death. Terrible story. It was very dark. It was like when we come to work here. It was kind of felt like the middle of the night, right? No, mm-hmm. no sunlight. Very, very dark. Probably just a lot of confusion. And then you lump on top of that, well, you're not just somebody who's going to watch the tournament. You're in the tournament.
You're the best golfer in the world.
Yeah, right. And you're trying to get there. Were bad decisions made with him going up on the median? Probably. Where's the assault charge come from? I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seemed to me, unless it was with his car.
Yeah, that might have been it.
And there's the guy as far trying as to I stop can... the car and Scheffler. I don't, you know, it didn't seem like there was any report of Scheffler putting hands on the sheriff's
on
deputy.
On the officer, yeah. Right. And so there's no, at least I haven't seen any footage of that particular part of this. And I guess maybe Darlington didn't have the camera up and ready because he maybe didn't expect that. But, you know, if that was Tiger Woods, how things have played, I've got a lot of questions about this. And I'm sure Louisville Police Department or Metro Police, they're going to have to answer a lot of questions too. It's just crazy to me. I mean, they took him to, he has a mugshot out there now where he's wearing the orange county jail garb and he gets bailed out. Just one of the most insane things I've seen. And we were already wondering how he would play this tournament after absolutely dominating, going on a run that we haven't seen in some time, probably since, you know, Tiger Woods was doing his thing. That's what Scheffler's been doing. And then his wife has their first child
mm-hmm.
this last week. He gets onto the course yesterday, holes out for eagle
yep.
on hole one.
Mm-hmm.
Plays pretty well the rest of the day, ends up 4 under par. He's 5 shots back of Schauffele as the second round gets started. Xander Schauffele, who shot something that no one's done on that golf course, especially in a major. So what a heck of a story. And I'm seeing on the text line some people saying free Scotty Scheffler. I was wondering if, I haven't gotten a great look at his face. Do you know, has he gotten a face tattoo since he went into jail?
Well, he had to protect himself. He was jailed and he was like, look, this is a completely different environment than the country club set where I usually am. I'm going to go ahead and I got to align with the right group. And
he was already picking sides.
Yeah, probably so.
Maximus says, don't drive through closed crime scenes. Duh. Yeah, I mean, that should be obvious, right? But I find it's just so strange because this is such a, by all accounts, great person. I have to believe there was some kind of a miscommunication or something like that.
He's not smiling sure. right now. So, yeah, okay, look, just look at it like this. It's dark. There's a lot of confusion. He could have certainly been aware that he knew that there was a traffic issue. He probably didn't know that there'd been a death, right? Mm-hmm. Probably didn't know that. Now you've got the Louisville police, and this is just, I don't want to speculate too much until when all the facts come in, then we can decide, was it the correct decision to haul away the world's best golfer, you know, for what reason? But when the facts come in, maybe then we can do that. But speculating, everybody a little on edge. You've got this accident. You have a policeman on the scene where someone has died. Emotions are high, right? Maybe even further on, you could say that maybe the policeman was there and in some way he or someone he knows made an error leading to the death. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, they're on the site, maybe because of the accident, but maybe they were already there trying to make sure the traffic flowed in okay, and then under their watch, the accident happened. That could have happened.
Mm-hmm.
This is pure Danny BBS, but...
Danny BBS, I like that.
But it's like, what goes into situations like this? And it's always more than you think. Sometimes maybe not. Maybe the facts will play out, and then there you go. But you have he seemed highly agitated to pull out a world-famous golfer
yeah.
and say immediately, this guy's going to jail.
Yeah.
So what put him in that mood? Was it Scheffler's driving? Could have been.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't sound good, right? If he was, if he drove for 20 to 30 seconds after he was told to stop, and if the cop was actually hanging off the side of the car, yeah. I don't know. Really strange situation. Let's get to the text line.
That's where I get back to the ice water in his veins. Let's see how he plays today. If he shoots a 4-under today, you're like, this guy's a robot.
Yeah.
Being arrested doesn't throw him off his game.
Jason says, so we have an officer unable to de-escalate a situation with a white suspect, referencing the report as we were talking about this morning. Mike says the whole situation reminds me of people on the interstate driving in the emergency lane around all stopped traffic. Oh, nothing makes me madder than that.
I'll tell you what, that is
when you have a backed up exit people go, you know.
That is just so dangerous.
And Maximus says Scheffler thinks he's special. See, that's everything I've seen points the other way.
Well, remember, it was the Masters where the baby was due, and he said, I could be leading the Masters on Sunday, and if my wife goes into labor, I'm leaving for the birth of my child.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty noble stance, right? So in this way, so now he's going around a traffic situation. He's trying to get, you know, does that make him, you know, is he entitled? I don't know. But, you know, anyway.
Oh, someone, let's read this one. Now, if this would have been an African-American, you would have said he needs to obey the police officer. Call a spade a spade. This is some BS. Because he's the world's best golfer, he does not have to obey the police officer. You have a policeman. We've got to stop praising celebrities. You see what their publicist wants you to see.
Okay.
What? I mean, okay. Now, would this have been an African-American, you would have... I just said Scheffler needs to listen to what the police officer has to say. What I'm saying is this is completely different from the character you normally see from Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah.
And I don't think, you know, to bring race into it, I don't think if that was Tiger Woods, the same thing would have happened, if you want me to be honest. Hmm. I think Tiger Woods wouldn't have been arrested. And he's black, the last I checked.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't think you necessarily have to drag race into this. We're just looking at it like, you know, how did it get to be that high temperature a situation? When you have a guy who's going to be well-known man.
They had to know golfers were coming in.
They knew golfers were coming in. The guy was aware that it was Scottie Scheffler, apparently. It's kind of like, can you handle that situation in a different way? Because obviously, look, if it was Scheffler's actions, it doesn't seem like it was his reaction to it all. Like, he wasn't a smart aleck when it all went down, but his actions in the automobile really set that cop off.
Yeah.
I don't know what he did exactly, but he might have had every right to say, buddy, you're going to jail. Okay, that's fine. Just having a little conversation here.
Well, I think ESPN might have just received a ratings bump for the rest of this weekend.
Yeah.
No doubt about that. We get back. Michael Cohen's very bad day in court yesterday, depending on how you look at things.
Well, and does it actually result in an eventual good day for Trump? I mean, that's the bottom line, right?
That's right. Yeah. Does it sway the jury at all that he appeared to be caught in a lie yesterday? And then you also have Cohen's attorney of the past disputing what Cohen has been saying.
Yeah, that's what I want to hear. It's 8:49, Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings. Scottie Scheffler, Michael Cohen, a lot of people to talk about here as we wind down Mobile Mornings on this Friday. Maybe a dead pig in the bay? It almost sounds like that's a new dish.
Dead hog. Well, it is a dish, but
dead hog
in the bay.
Yeah, it's an appetizer. Y'all enjoy it. You can have it with your ginger ale. By the way, Mobile Breeze Airways now flying nonstop to Orlando from Mobile International Airport, the one just minutes from downtown. I love that location. And when the whole airport is all completed, it's going to be great, especially for here in Mobile, but on the Eastern Shore too. There's no reason to drive to Biloxi or Pensacola, really, now. You've got Mobile International Airport right there downtown. Also, no need to drive to Central Florida because right now they've got the Airbus A220 made right here in Mobile, and you can start your vacation and fly directly to Orlando from Mobile with Breeze Airways. You can book your flights today at breezefly.com, and you can also, they've got these... deals are going on through January, so book way ahead of time. Nice and convenient. Breeze booking through January. You can earn Breeze points, too, with every purchase. Get more with their bundles, and you can choose nice, nicer, or nicest for total flexibility, extra bags, added comfort, Wi-Fi, and more. Again, no reason to make that drive to Biloxi or Pensacola. Your vacation in Orlando starts right here in Mobile. Book your flights now at flybreeze.com. Nice, new, nonstop to Orlando. FlyBreeze.com.
So, latest on the Trump trial in Manhattan. There will be today off because they're letting the former president see his son's graduation, Barron's graduation. So today's off, supposed to be back in court on Monday where the prosecutors will probably rest their case. The Trump team has to decide whether they want to continue to cross-examine the star witness for the prosecution, Michael Cohen. And I don't think or I don't know what the result will be with this jury. Just have no idea how they will rule on all this. And it could be as soon as next week if the defense rests their case and don't decide to bring any of their own witnesses to the stand. But they are going to try or have been trying to bring, I think, at least two to the stand. One would be an expert witness on campaign finance law, Bradley Smith, who's a former FEC commission chairman, who is set to say that NDAs do not violate campaign finance law. But the judge, Juan Merchan, is saying that this man may be likely limited in what he could testify about. Another witness that the defense may call would be the attorney's attorney, the former one-time lawyer of Michael Cohen. His name is Robert Costello. We'll get to some Costello audio here in just a little bit. But yesterday, during the cross-examination, one of the most crucial parts of the prosecution's case and what Cohen had to say was that he spoke on the phone with Donald Trump, and Trump gave him the go-ahead to pay $130,000 to Stormy Daniels to keep her quiet. Mm-hmm. Well, yesterday, under cross-examination, Trump attorney Todd Blanche looked at a bunch of texts from the record and questioned Cohen about what that call was really about. It was a 96-second call. Blanche confronted Cohen with text messages that appeared to show Cohen hadn't talked to Trump, but to Trump's bodyguard, to discuss a 14-year-old prank caller who was harassing Cohen. Cohen appeared blindsided, wavered on his recollection of the phone call. Remember, this is crucial to the case they're making here, mm-hmm. as Blanche accused him of lying, but he insisted that he also spoke to Trump during that 96-second call. Quote, "I believe I was telling the truth." Cohen previously told jurors that on that call, Trump directed him to pay the $130,000 to Daniels, but they said Blanche spent much of the morning grilling Cohen over previously pleading guilty to lying to Congress, making false statements to a bank, and tax evasion. That, I thought, was devastating to his case, that he was actually calling because this 14-year-old kept prank calling him. And but he says he still was able to talk to Trump on that call for one reason or another. Then you have Bob Costello, Cohen's former attorney. And what he has had to say lately, and he was on, after speaking with Congress, he was on with Fox yesterday, and he revealed that Cohen's recent testimony against Trump is false. He said he spoke with Cohen in 2018 after he was sentenced to 3 years in prison for violating federal campaign law and tax evasion. Costello told committee members his then client insisted at least 10 times, quote, "I swear to God, Bob, I don't have anything on Donald Trump." Cohen later waived his attorney-client privilege, allowing Costello to share the details of their talks. Costello emphasized that prosecutors were asking for truthful information that would implicate Donald Trump in order to get Cohen out of his legal trouble by the end of the week if he cooperated against Trump. Hmm. Cohen later told Costello he had concocted the catch-and-kill scheme to hide Daniel's story that she had engaged in an affair years earlier with Trump. He said, quote, "It would be embarrassing for Trump and especially his wife Melania, so he decided to take care of it himself." Mm-hmm. Here's Costello on Fox yesterday, I believe.
He said specifically, and I cross-examined him on this, "This was my idea. It was his idea to take care of the NDA because he had been contacted by a lawyer for Stormy Daniels who said she was going to claim that Donald Trump had sex with her. He kept on saying, I have nothing on Donald Trump."
Costello added his former client's motivation for the scheme later became obvious when he learned Cohen expected to be named Trump's White House chief of staff or even attorney general. He also said the whole of Cohen's testimony constituted a revenge tour against Trump after Cohen lost his law license and spent that year in federal prison. And Costello is someone who I believe the defense is trying to bring up as a witness next week when they begin their side of the case.
Yeah, well, that'd be pretty solid witness right there, especially after... I guess it wasn't all day long, but Michael Cohen certainly had a moment that should give the jurors pause to consider everything that he's representing in this case and what his motivations are, where he's coming from.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. What a busy morning on Mobile Mornings. We'll continue it here on FM Talk 106.5 with Midday Mobile. Former Chief Prine on with Sean later today. You'll want to listen to that. Coming up on the Jeff Poor Show, Todd Stacey, Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth, and State Senator Chris Elliott set to join Jeff.
Here we go. All-star lineup, as always. It is 8:58. Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. We enjoyed it, y'all. Appreciated the texts and the phone calls, 251-343-0106. And hopefully we kind of straightened it all out for you, made the show informative and a little fun, too. Jeff's next.